Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for May 8th, 2009. This week, life on ancient Earth and beyond. We'll tell you how oxygen became abundant enough on Earth to support an explosion of life. We'll reveal a new method for locating life on other planets, and we'll examine compelling evidence that an asteroid may not have killed the dinosaurs after all. But first, I just want to give a shout out to our listeners at Shaler Area High School. That's in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. The AP Biology class there, they've been listening to Science Update all year. And I think that alone is deserving of extra credit, don't you think?
Definitely, but only if they send in their why is it questions for our show.
Yeah, don't forget to send in your questions, you students there at Shaler.
And all you other listeners out there, you'll get extra credit for sending in questions too, and you can do so at www.scienceupdate.com.
That's right, we're easy. We'll give extra credit to anybody who sends in a question. So send your questions in right away. Okay, to start us off, Suzanne Bard looked into the hypothesis that comets may have provided the essential balance of chemicals that eventually led to the emergence of life on Earth. What about it, Suzanne?
Well, as you know, comets and asteroids don't really have the best reputation. People blame them for all kinds of things, from killing off all the dinosaurs to possible future impacts with the Earth that could wipe us out. But new research presents a more positive image for the celestial bodies. Scientists at Tel Aviv University have simulated icy comets like those that rained down on Earth 4 billion years ago. They report that the comets contain molecules that were essential to the formation of life. So while we worry about the effects a large comet hitting Earth might have, we may actually owe our lives to such strikes way back in Earth's past.
Thanks, Suzanne. Well, once life did emerge, it wasn't exactly smooth sailing from these tiny, simple organisms to the abundance of complex species that have evolved since. Reporter Karina Wu explains why.
2.5 billion years ago, the Earth's atmosphere was very different from how it is today. Bacteria that produced methane gas ruled the oceans, and as a result, the atmosphere contained hardly any oxygen. But then right around that time, oxygen-producing bacteria started to flourish. The oxygen they released gradually built up in the atmosphere, and eventually allowed many new life forms to develop. Kurt Kahnhauser is a geomicrobiologist at the University of Alberta in Canada. He and his colleagues tried to figure out what triggered this seminal event in Earth's history. They analyzed the composition of sedimentary rocks and found that up until about 2.7 billion years ago, the amount of nickel in seawater was very high.
And by the time 2.5 billion years comes along, the concentration of nickel halves. So there's a big drop in nickel between 2.7 and 2.5 billion years ago.
Kahnhauser says that methane-producing bacteria, or methanogens, need nickel more than other types of organisms. So without nickel, the methanogens starved out, allowing oxygen-producing bacteria to take over the oceans. But just what caused that huge drop in nickel? Kahnhauser says it had to do with changes in volcanic activity. When volcanoes erupt, they bring materials from deep inside the Earth's mantle to the surface. He says the Earth's mantle was hotter prior to this time, which melted more nickel-rich rocks.
As the Earth's mantle progressively cooled, we had less melting of mantle rocks, less volcanic activity producing these nickel-rich rocks. So it was a change in the temperature of the Earth's mantle, which ultimately changed the type of volcanism, which led to less nickel-rich volcanic rocks being produced.
So a precipitous drop in that trace metal, nickel, ultimately resulted in what scientists call the Great Oxidation Event, which changed life on Earth from that point forward.
Thanks, Karina. Well, moving forward in time, you're probably familiar with the idea that an asteroid did in the dinosaurs 65 million years ago. Well, some scientists are calling the asteroid hypothesis into question. In the Journal of the Geological Society, researchers report evidence that the asteroid suspected of killing the dinosaurs actually hit Earth 300,000 years before the dinosaurs went extinct. They claim that climate change caused by volcanoes was the real culprit. Finally today, the detection of a planet outside our solar system only twice the mass of Earth has received a lot of attention in the press lately. That's because while the planet is too close to its star to harbor life, its discovery means that we now have the tools to find planets this small. And if one of them happened to be located within the so-called habitable zone of its solar system, it could possibly have life on it. Justin Warner reports on a new method astronomers could use to find out whether or not life is actually there.
Finding life on faraway planets may someday become easier by analyzing the light that reflects off of them. That's an idea being developed by Bill Sparks of the Space Telescope Science Institute in Baltimore. His colleagues include physicist Thomas Germer of the National Institute of Standards and Technology. Germer explains that the molecules in living things, like proteins and carbohydrates, tend to be chiral. That means they can theoretically come in two possible shapes, which are mirror images of each other. And while chiral molecules in non-living substances, like quartz, are randomly mixed, chiral molecules in life forms usually come in just one of those two flavors. That helps the molecules self-assemble and replicate. But as a side effect, it also makes them scatter light in a circular direction. It's that quality that the scientists hope to use to spot life from a distance.
If we see a net circular polarization coming from the planet, it's hard to imagine that coming from anything other than life.
Their team has developed an instrument that can detect that kind of polarization. So far, they've shown that it works in the lab, looking at samples of organic material in Petri dishes.
The next step for us to do is to take this outside and look at a tree or a lawn or something like that. And then if that works, moving farther away, say putting it on a satellite or on an airplane or possibly looking at the entirety of Earth, say from the moon.
If all of those steps work, they can install a similar instrument on a telescope to look at the surfaces of distant planets. This could greatly broaden the search for extraterrestrial life, which now mainly involves looking for radio signals that must have been sent deliberately. The advantage to this technique is that it would theoretically spot any kind of life, not just intelligent life, with the technology to broadcast radio waves.
Well, that's our show for this week. Next week, we'll introduce you to some dancing parrots. We'll tell you how species that look just like other species are causing trouble in the research world. And just in time for mosquito season, we'll explain exactly how those pesky insects find you. Until then, check out our Science Update Podcast Daily Edition. We've got a new story every day, Monday through Friday. You can find it on our website, scienceupdate.com, or at iTunes. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.